here on TSN 1050. Aaron Colonna and Carlo Colacapo with you. When I think of this song, I mean, I think of many things, but you know the Entourage episode when they go to, I think for Johnny Drama's birthday, Ari gets them tickets to see U2, and they play the song, and he shouts out Johnny Drama.
Yes. This isn't the song, though.
Well, what song was that? Maybe we'll play that a little bit later. Maybe Kate Burness knows from the NBA and TSN. She knows so many things. Kate, do you know what song in a obscure episode of Entourage was played at a U2 concert?
Absolutely not. You know what's funny? I was doing a podcast interview this week, and they're like, you know, what are your favorite shows to binge? And I can't tell you how much TV I don't watch. I'm trying to maybe get an hour a week to sit down. We're trying to crush Succession right now, and it just hasn't been good this season.
Good.
And I think it is, but this season just hasn't been great. And I'm like, nope, that's all the time I have. I don't have any time at all to watch shows. I envy, like, if you can sit down and watch like a series a week, that's amazing.
Do you think that Carlo has some Kendall Roy tendencies, Kate?
Ooh, he's way nicer than Kendall Roy. Like, way nicer.
Maybe some of the poor decision-making. That's what I was referring to. Kendall Roy,
If I only knew who Kendall Roy was, but I'll take that compliment.
If you only
Thank
did. No, take that as a compliment, trust me.
Yes.
So.
Oh, by the way, that song was City of Blinding Lights.
Ah, okay. Maybe we'll play that in the next segment. Yes. Our boy Adam Chernoff will join us. We'll talk some NFL handicapping for the weekend ahead. And
Kate wants to listen to that. She loves betting on the NFL and
well,
CFL.
Why don't we start?
No, I don't love betting on the NFL. The NFL's impossible. I mean, you know, I threw like 25 bucks Bears minus three yesterday. And I just looked at the score and I'm like, oh, God. Like, minus two. It's so dumb. Like, it's not. The NFL, you can't tell me that the NFL isn't the hardest sport to bet on. Seriously.
Completely agree. Well, you are a Bears fan, Kate. So what was that experience like watching the ineptitude of Matt Nagy and Dan Campbell going head to head yesterday?
That was a horrible football game. It's just brutal. You know what I mean? Like, you just watch it, it's almost cringeworthy at this point. And you're just like, man, just get me back. Like, just get back to a point where it's like, you know, top to bottom. And even when Schefter tweeted out everyone that was inactive yesterday, I was like, good Lord, this is going to be painful. But the Lions are just so bad. The fact that the Lions lost to that team yesterday, too, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So, no, it was just trash football start to finish.
Couldn't agree more. It was tough to watch. But the other games were good. I mean, if you're a Bills fan, you have to be feeling really good about what you saw from
Hell
your team on the Thursday nighter. And Dallas and Vegas was exciting in spite of far too many penalties. But why don't we shift our focus to the NBA and the Raptors in action tonight. They're closing out the six-game road swing in Indiana, a team they've beaten twice already this year. And it's pretty incredible to think, considering how we viewed the six-game trip to begin with, Kate, and some of the daunting teams that the Raptors had to go up against. If they win tonight, 500 record. They have a game against Boston coming up this weekend. I think it's going to be feeling pretty good about the Raptors if they're able to take care of business against the Pacers tonight.
Absolutely. And I think, too, like that first half of the Grizz game, I mean, they gave up 71 points, which was a season high and a half for them. And I'm like, oh, this is just terrible. And that's the one thing that bothers me on the road trip until we'll get to the second half of that last game in a moment. But, you know, when things fall apart offensively for the Raps, the one thing they've always been able to do is rely on their defense. Mm-hmm. Nah, their defense had been slipping big time. They dropped a 21st in defensive rating. And I think that's the uninspiring part. And then they had that second half in Memphis. And I don't know what was said in the locker room, but that's the Raptors team I think we all expected. They're gritty. They'll grind through it, albeit Memphis doesn't play defense. But, you know, when they play that tight defensively, immediately, they need transition basketball. Their half-court offense isn't great, right? Start moving around, move the ball. And then, you know, a guy like Precious, for Precious to just let go and play basketball like he did in that third quarter, 17 points, unreal. Gary Trent, with the exception of one game in the last few, he wasn't good against Golden State. But other than that, he's been fantastic as well. And, you know, seeing a guy like that in closing time, like, this is what you need, and especially without OG in the lineup right now. So I love the momentum they're taking into Indiana tonight. And I'll hand it to the Pacers, though. I mean, they're coming off a really tough loss to the Lakers. Their rookie, Chris Duarte, just keeps getting better and better. He hit the three ball to go into OT in their last game, and I think, though, that there's opportunity here for the Raps to end this road trip on a high for sure. But, you know, just a really awesome performance of that second half, and you love that momentum going into tonight.
Yeah, it's almost like what we came to expect of this Raptors team, especially with the hot start that they came out of the gates with their defense and, you know, some of the inspired play and the energy that they were building with guys coming off the bench and guys out of the lineup. You saw glimpses of that in Memphis, and you hope that carries over. But, you know, Kate, I know you were a big fan of Norm Powell, and you just mentioned Gary Trent Jr. Has the play of Gary Trent Jr. allowed you to be okay and, you know, feel good about what this Raptors team can look like with him moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a small sample size, right? So we're trying to just judge on what we've seen. But, and, you know, Norm's offense, I think, spoke for itself. That was always, you know, he could light up a game like that. But yeah, I mean, if Gary continues to play like, and Gary's showing us, I mean, as I said, really the slip up was Golden State. He was really off that night. But other than that, he's been really consistent. And that is just something that the Raptors, they need, and they need that offense. And you know what he can do defensively. I mean, he's a ball hawk. He loves, you know, he'll go after a ball all the time. So it's, I don't know, it's a really nice combination. I still think, you know, moving forward, you know, from like a playoff perspective, I don't think with the current roster in place, they would get past the first round. But I think there's still gaps in this team. And I think when you see them play like a really good team like Golden State, it's like, okay, like this is what we're up against now. But for right now and how they're building this together and, you know, just to progress in the right direction, I think, you know, I think it's a good team. So again, they're pretty much where I think we all expected them to be. But it's really nice seeing those glimpses of these individual players. And Precious has had a really rough season. And I think, you know, there was so much hype around him. I mean, you look at that Lowry deal, and that wasn't so much the Goron part of it. It was the Precious Achiuwa and his potential. And that's just one of the things with him. I think he's a really intelligent guy. I think like he overthinks things. And then if you just watch him play that third quarter in Memphis, you're like, oh man, this is the potential of this guy. So I think that's going to be really something to look for the rest of the season.
Kate Burness is our guest here on First Up from the NBA on TSN, also the CFL on TSN. We'll certainly get into those games in just a moment, Kate. But we know that OG Anunoby is questionable tonight, seemingly been questionable for three or four games now. So you imagine he'll make a return at some point soon, whether it's tonight or on Sunday. How do you envision the starting lineup shaking out when he returns? Because he's going to be in it. Pascal Siakam will be in it, but the other parts, I mean, Fred VanVleet as well, the other parts a little bit questionable considering they may have six guys for five starting spots.
Yeah, you know what? I would go back to putting Barnes on the bench. You know, and I think, too, just like as a rookie, too, this whole learning season for him, too, and he had a red-hot, torching start to the season. And since, he's been up and down. He was really good. He picked it up again in Memphis. He had a slow start, same kind of way he had the Golden State game, really slow start in Golden State and then, you know, picked it up. I really don't mind putting Scotty Barnes on the bench, personally. I think it's good. You know, he comes in there. He can make an immediate impact. He's got that, like, lightning energy that just brings to a game. So right now, I think a lot is interchangeable. But as you said, too, I mean, OG, Pascal, and Freddie, they're always going to start, right? Kem, I like Kem, too, if he's healthy coming in on that starting lineup. I like the energy he brings on the boards and then maybe Precious as well. But they're very interchangeable. And I don't think with this team especially, I mean, the best part of the Raptors is it's team-first mentality, right? None of these guys are going to have egos like, oh, I'm not starting. It can almost be like a Danny Green situation in the playoffs, too, right? When they were going through that championship run, if you have to start one of your main guys, but then he's not playing well, okay, sit him down immediately. Like, it's not going to hurt these guys' feelings. So, I mean, I think it's a good problem to have, to be quite honest with you.
Kate, you are the host of the CFL on TSN, and I've been hearing some rumblings that there's a lot of fun being had in the studio over the past couple of weeks, some successful wagering. Can you confirm that you now drive a Lamborghini?
No, I did not know what you're talking about. I mean,
what the hell? I mean, I get taxed. Come on, man.
No, I don't think you can get taxed on gambling winnings in Canada. I don't think that's
I mean, you probably can. I mean,
I've looked into this recently.
Yeah, I'm driving a Lambo. Last time I heard, like, you're like PJ territory at this point, correct?
Yes.
It is true. We're doing quite well.
But here's the problem, AK. It's like, okay, that's fun. That's all fun, right? When you, and no offense to the Edmonton Elks, but I think they'd even tell you that they were garbage this year, and the Red Blacks are in there. I mean, those games are fun to maybe make a little wager on. But now when you look at these real games, you're just like, oh, now I don't know what's going to happen. That's the problem. Like, I was looking at it this morning, and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, everyone's like, oh, Sasky's going to win. But are they? Like,
no, they're not.
It's funny. I'm with you. And everyone else, when we were on these CFL calls this week, they're like, Riders at home, Riders at home. I kind of like the Stamps in this game. Like, I like
Don't
Reggie
second
Bettleton.
Guess it then, Kate. Go with your gut.
I'm going to go with my gut, and I can't stop thinking about that. I haven't seen enough from the Riders. I just can't believe in Cody Fajardo. I can't. So I'm like, okay, you know what? A Stamps it is. And I like Kadeem Cash Carey. Oh my gosh, I like Kadeem Carey, their running back. So
nice.
I don't know.
Cash Carey. I love that.
Yeah, well, I think it was either Milt or Davis who coined that, but Kadeem Cash and Carey is one of the best nicknames in the league.
So Calgary is in Saskatchewan. Calgary is a 2-point underdog on the road. I like Calgary as well. The game in the East, the 1 o'clock game on Sunday, and I know you guys will be covering this extensively, of course. Yeah. I mean, Dave Naylor on location in Hamilton as well. I was texting with the Nail Gun yesterday. So you have Montreal on the road in Hamilton, and these two teams split the season series, both winning once. Remember that crazy finish in the last time those two teams played. But Eugene Lewis, the stud wideout for Montreal, very questionable. Kate, apparently he's got a groin injury. That may be a major storyline heading into Sunday.
You know what the only good thing about it, and that's brutal, trust me, because Geno Lewis, I think he came up with the catch of the year, too. He's been awesome to watch. I mean, at least they have Jake Winicky too in there, right? So they're kind of interchangeable. At least they got a lot of talent. My thing is in that game. I mean, it's going to be William Standback. William, please stand back. I love the nicknames in the CFL. That has always been kind of a problem for these teams in the East to contain him. And I think the hard part is too, when Hamilton's playing well, like when they are firing on all cylinders, they're a great football team. The problem is they've been so inconsistent this season that, again, kind of like with this Riders and Stamps game, I don't know what we can predict. The only thing I would say, though, is Hamilton's defense, right? When you got Simone Lawrence, Jagera Davis is one of my favorite players in the entire league, too. Their lines are really good as well. And I think, personally, Jeremiah Masoli will be on a very short leash. I think Dane Evans should be in there anyways.
Ooh,
so this will be, and like Speedy B really hasn't been a factor this season. So I don't know. Again, this is a really, really interesting game for me. And same with Trevor Harris. I mean, you know, we see Trevor Harris some games and we're like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, this guy is legit. Then other games, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Like, it's just this one, both these games, I think, are going to be so hard. The only game I'm going to predict coming out of the next few weeks is I would put a decent amount of money that the Bombers are going to be in the Grey Cup. Other than that, I have no idea what's going to go on. Yeah. Not a clue.
I'm with you. I think the same way, and I don't have a clue either. So I would choose the Bombers to be in the Grey Cup.
Safe.
Very safe.
Yeah. Just quickly, we've been discussing about it because, you know, the games are being played on Sunday. What are your thoughts on the CFL choosing to play their playoff games on Sunday to combat with the NFL instead of on a day like Saturday?
I'm not kidding you. One of my first questions, and I knew they were on Sunday, and I'm just like, why wouldn't they change this? Like, you're right? Going against a juggernaut. Like, I would put them Saturday in a heartbeat.
I mean, yeah.
I
did some research into this, Kate, and apparently they tried that on the CFL and TSN, and the ratings were significantly worse than if they did it on Sunday.
Interesting. And here's the thing, too. You know this Riders game, like this fourth, I think kicks 4:30 on the Riders. Like, this is going to get a million viewers on it. Like, the ratings have been amazing, to be quite honest with you, but... I mean, I didn't know how it affected. I just, why not take a Saturday day and go against college football versus NFL? But
yeah.
I don't know.
The ratings,
I don't know what
The ratings, I think we call it the Burness effect. That's my understanding.
I mean, I don't want to brag, but a million viewers, a few to tune in for me, a few to turn in for the Riders.
Make sure the next contract negotiations, can you bring those numbers to
analytics.
I'm just hiring a guy for analytics. I'm not hiring an agent. Don't worry.
Smart. Very smart. Well, thank you so much for your time. I know it's a very busy weekend for you. We're pumped to see the great CFL action on Sunday, and I'm sure you'll be busy with a bunch of stuff leading up to Sunday as well. So thank you for the time, as always.
Can I ask her one last question before she leaves? Kate, I'm not sure if you're a Swiss Chalet fan or if you're not, but could you settle this debate that Aaron finds so appalling? When you eat your Swiss Chalet, do you dip it into your chalet sauce or do you pour it all over your meal?
I don't think I've had Swiss Chalet for 12 years, but let me go back and think if I had to do it, I would dip it, not pour it.
Okay.
Great team answer, Aaron. Kate. Thank you very much. Kate's on the team, of course. Have a great day, Kate. Thank you very much, boys. And have a great weekend, too.
See you, Kate.
All right, that's Kate Burness. Kate knows what's up, you know? Kate is in all those commercials for, like, BioSteel, or maybe, like, was it Under Armour? You know, there's a reason that they choose her for those commercials and not guys like you and Al's brother, Carlo, who pour the chalet sauce all over their meals.
I like to savor every flavor with everything that I eat. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, I think that should be the opposite by doing that, but that's just my interpretation of that situation. That's been a very heated debate, even in like my group chats. I sent them this whole thing, and some guys are very pro pouring the sauce on the food, and others are completely against it. So it's kind of like Democrats and Republicans in the United States, a very similar type of divide on that subject. So it's how we operate on these days. We have Adam Chernoff from Covers.com and the Simple Handicap podcast. He will break down the action yesterday on American Thanksgiving. Three games, one terrible in Detroit and Chicago, one great in Dallas and Vegas, and one bad for anyone who likes offense when it comes to New Orleans, who had nothing against the Buffalo Bills, losing 31-6. Josh Allen, a lot of good. Some bad, too, with another interception. That's four straight games with a pick for Josh Allen. So it was tough to watch. But, Coco, I know you're feeling much better about your Bills right now.
Yeah, feeling great. Look, I was talking to my buddies. Like, yesterday was a must-win game. They couldn't walk out of that game feeling, you know, terrible about themselves or, you know, having to absorb another loss, disappointing loss. That's exactly the performance they needed to have. The offense seemed like it was rolling. They established the running game, which is what helped Josh Allen, you know, be more effective in the passing. I wasn't too happy with the interceptions that he thrown, but he didn't let that faze him because he came on the second half and he heaved it around the field, and they walk out of there with a very, very impressive win against it. Look, it's no kidding who, a depleted New Orleans Saints game, but, you know, it's the NFL, man. The NFL has allowed us to experience crazy circumstances when it comes to teams winning without their quarterbacks, like Baltimore did on the weekend, like Arizona's been able to do without Kyler Murray. You know, teams with depleted defenses losing to who would think the Bills would go into Jacksonville and lose 9-6, not one touchdown scored in that game. So that's been the story of the NFL, is expect the unexpected, and, you know, be every week is the most unpredictable. Be prepared for the most unpredictable thing to happen, which is what we've seen through 12 weeks.
I think it was also hard to predict the Dallas Cowboys losing to Vegas as 7-point favorites. I think they're the biggest favorite on the board this week. It's a tight week, and I know New England is a 6.5 or 7-point favorite as well, hosting Tennessee, and that's a big number. Tennessee has the number one seed in the AFC right now, and they're laying almost a touchdown in New England. That's a big number for them, but the way the Pats have been playing over the last month or so, I mean, it's hard to really doubt that is maybe a little bit of a regression to the mean coming for New England. We'll talk to Adam Chernoff about that, and I think we also need to look ahead to the Eagles and the Giants. I know he's got a number of picks in his bet thread at Adam Chernoff on Twitter. And listen, you know I love gambling. I am a complete degenerate. Everybody who listens to the show knows that. You're going to want to follow this guy on Twitter because he has great insight into the handicapping community, into the handicapping world, and gives his rationale on every single one of his picks. And I think he's hitting at like 68% this NFL season. In the NFL, 68% is completely unprecedented. So thrilled to welcome him into the show. Coming up on the other side, it's Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Koliakovo back with Hour 4 of First Stop after this.